Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. All praise, glory, and honor be unto you, O Yah, our Father, our Master, our King, creator of all the universe, the creator of this beautiful day, this beautiful sunny day that we have waiting for us today, Abba Yah, outside. Abba Yah, I want to thank you, first of all, for life, for health, and strength, Father. Even want to thank you, Father, for the trials that we face and we endure. Father, I ask that you look after all our brothers and sisters that are having any problems, Father, whether it's mental, emotional, spiritual, or physical. I thank you, Father, for being merciful unto our sister who had to endure a procedure. Father, we pray for her swift, speedy healing, Father. Pray for my brother whose heart is ailing, Father, that you continue to uplift him and uphold him, Father, as he supports his Isha through her time right now, Father. I pray for the children of that household that you comfort them, Father, knowing that their Ima is within your wings, within your hands, Father, and that there's no hurt, harm, or danger that is going to come to her throughout this situation. I pray for our Ima, Deborah, Father, that you and her Abba, that you continue, Father, to look after them, to hedge them up, Father, and to uphold them, Father, with your strength, Father. I pray for my daughter, Chomi, Father, that you brought her through again, yet through another procedure, Father, and given us good news, Father, that we can still look towards you, Father, knowing and understanding, Father, that you hear our prayers, great or small, Father, and that was a great prayer of mine, Father, and I appreciate you, Father, for answering. Father, I pray for brothers and sisters who may be struggling within their relationships, Father, with each other, Father, and also with you, Father. I pray for them, Father, that you fill them up, Father, where they are in need, Father, of your spirit, Father, as they cry out to you, Father, and look towards you, Father, with hope in their heart, Father, that you will answer, Father. The scriptures say, yea. You, O Yahushua, you stand at the door and not Father. You said, if anybody opens up that door, you're going to come in and you're going to sit down and you're going to eat with them, Father. As a matter of fact, you're going to do more than that, Father. You're going to bring the food, Father, to the table for them to dine off, Father. But, Father, as you stand at that door and you're not, Father, we have to be willing to open up the door, Father, and allow you in. If we open up the door to our heart and let Yah in, Father, there's nothing that you will withhold from us, Father. I pray for everybody within the circle, within the universal house of Beth Yahweh, as well as this little house of Beth Yahweh in Baltimore, Maryland, USA. I pray, Father, that you look after the minds, the hearts, Father, the spirits, Father, the bodies of everybody within the body, Father, for our Zakanes, Father, as they start to get older, Father, even the younger Zakanes, Father, as we start to get older, Father, that you look after the little aches and pains that we face every day, Father, from the little clicks in the knees and the shoulders and the feet sometimes that give way, Father, that you look after us, Father. You look after the Zakanes, Father, and that we learn that, Father, we are one body and that we have to take care of one another, Father. And as one person ails and as one person aches, Father, that the whole body aches, Father, that we ache with one another, Father. Father, please forgive us for our sins. Father, please just forgive us for our iniquities, Father. I pray for my brothers that are in Delaware. I pray for my brother that is in Beirut, my brother Beirut that's down there in Georgia, Father. I pray for all the brothers and sisters, and if I forgot about anybody, please forgive me, Abiyah. But you know, even though my mind may fail, Father, that my heart is sincere in asking you to look after all of us, Father, whether near or far, our family that's in Missouri, Father, our family that I believe is way off in Seattle, Father, or whatever state it is, Father, if my memory fails me, Father, forgive me, but you know I have my other aunt in mind, Father. Father, endure with us, Father, as we struggle with our relationship with you, Father. And Father, have mercy upon us. Please look after us with loving kindness continually, Father. These things we beg you, bowing the knees of our heart, Father, to you. Beshem Rabbi Malek, Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. All right. Baruch atah Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Baruch atah Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen, amen, amen. Shabbat shalom, Mishpacha. Once again, this is your brother Ahav Al, and this is the second installment of Study to Show Thyself Approved unto Yahweh, a workman that not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I am your brother Ahav Al, and from Beth Yahweh Congregation in good old Baltimore, Maryland, USA. And today's lesson, the title of today's lesson, the trials, what are they for? You know, forgive me, I'm still dealing with these allergies from this seasonal change. So if I sound a little congested, it's because I am, but forgive me. And, you know, family, trials. When we think about these trials that we go through, these situations that occur in our life that challenge our faith, that challenge our resolve, family, you know, we ask ourselves, you know, as believers, why am I going through this, Abba? Why do I feel sometimes like, you know, you picking on me? Or why do I feel like sometimes you've abandoned me? Or why do I feel like sometimes that you're just not with me anymore and you're not hearing my prayers and there's nothing that I'm saying, nothing that I'm doing, nothing seems to go right? Or it could be anything, minor thing. It doesn't have to be anywhere. It could be finances. It could be your car's messed up. It could be your roof is leaking. It could be your basement is flooded. It could be whatever. It could be you tripped over your own 2 feet like I often do because I got them flicked feet. And we ask ourselves sometimes, well, why am I going through this? Why is this happening to me? If you are his, you know, there's a saying going around now, being my authentic and my best self. Well, guess what? There's a truth to that, even though some people have taken it for their authentic and true self in wickedness and devilment. But the same goes true for Yahweh also. He wants us to be the best version of ourselves that we can be. If you are his, if you are his child, just like if you got a child or any young person that you care for in your life, you want nothing but the best for them. And oftentimes we see things within them that they don't see and don't recognize. Well, the same goes true for Abba. Sometimes there are things that he sees within us. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're a bad person. It doesn't necessarily mean sometimes that you have sinned or done anything wrong. But because Abba wants you to be for him the best version of yourself, sometimes he's got to put you through some things in order to draw that out of you. When you think of any endeavor that you embark upon in your life, whether it's a job, whether if you want to be an athlete, whether you want to be a musician, whether you want to be an artist, whether you want to be a mechanic, whatever it is within your life, if you're trying to be the best at it, it goes through a period of trials. No secret, my favorite sport is football. No professional football player, even if you are the worst scrub, if you're the worst quarterback, the worst cornerback, the worst running back, the worst safety, the worst linebacker, you could be statistically one of the worst to ever hit the field on the professional football league. But you have to go through a period of trying your best in order to make it there. And sure, there may be people out there that are better than you. Everybody's not going to be the GOAT. Everybody's not going to be the best. You're going to have some that are second best, third best, fourth best, and so on and so forth. But they still all have to go through the same process to make it onto the practice squad. You have to go through the same trials and tribulations. You got to go through the two-a-days. You got to go through the OTAs. You got to go through running around the field, catching the ball, trying to deflect the ball, blocking, defending, running. Everybody goes through the same drills, whether you're the starter, whether you're the star. Sometimes the stars get time off because they're just that good. But if you are not the star, and you are second, third, fourth in line, guess what? If you're on the squad, if you're on the roster, you got to go through the same drills. You got to learn the same skills. You got to go through the same fundamentals. Weight room time, pushing up weight, squatting, bench pressing, arm curling. All of these things you have to go through in order to just be on the team. Same thing goes with Team Yahweh, with being a part of the nation of Yisrael, being one of his children, being one of his set-apart ones, being one of his called-out ones. There's only one Moshe, Rabbeinu. There's only one true Jeremiah. There's only one true Ezra, Nehemiah, Hoshea, Yahushua. There's only one. There's never going to be a second Moshe, as in that Moshe. Yes, there's going to be a prophet like unto him, but not him. There's only going to be one Yehuchanan, Hametubil, one John the Baptist, one John the Beloved, one Lucas. These men have all had a special place that Yahweh has set apart for them throughout this period of history that we are in. There'll only be one Brother Baruch, one Brother Avi, one Brother Matatya, one Brother Mikael, one Brother Shebael, Sefuel, and sisters, Ahaba, Malka, Moriah, Eliu. It's only going to be one of us called out in our place in history for the working that we have to do for our Heavenly Father. So in order for us to fulfill that dash, to fulfill the work that he has for us, he's got to make us the best version of ourselves that he wants us, that he needs us to develop into. So that comes with, at times, painful experiences. Comes with sometimes heavy hearts and burdensome spirits. At times it comes through enduring through physical pain. Unfortunately, a lot of us are discovering that as we are getting older, it comes with the price of getting older. We are made of this material that deteriorates, that decays, that gets old. And depending on how, sometimes in my case, how you treat your body, which I have not treated my body the best. I indulge too much in chicken wings, Western fries, sandwiches, and from time to time, beer, alcohol. No secret, I enjoy my cigars. among other things. But these things have their toll. My sweet treats. My brother Mar L at lunch the other day cracked open the lemon donut, knowing I'm a fiend for lemon flavored things. And I had to tell myself, only take a serving, only take four. But the Smeagol inside me for sweets looked at them sweet rocks and was like, ah, give me the whole bag. Those things aren't good for my body. I don't exercise enough. Matter of fact, I got the meeting with the cardiologist in a couple of weeks. What I generally do during that time is I clamp down. So by the time I get to her, all my signs look good, knowing for the next, I meet with her twice a year, for the next 180 days, I'm going to act a fool. I'm not going to exercise regularly. I'm not going to take care of this body the way I should, especially now getting older. I'm in my 50s now. And the same thing, like when you got an older car, you can't just put that new car oil in there. You got to put in that high mileage car oil in there. Same way I got to take care of my body. I was exercising every day, got sick, then went to Suco, got sick and fell off, stopped exercising. Did it one day. The next day I got so sore, I was like, forget it. I don't want to go through this. But it's either use it or lose it. And as you get older, it really is use it or lose it. But anyway, endurance, trials, tribulations. What are we to learn from trials and tribulations, family? Abba Yah is trying to improve us and make us a better person. But trials aren't necessarily the result of a sin or a trespass. They aren't. And we're going to see that. In a trial, Abba has looked within us and sees an opportunity for refinement that is not obvious to us sometimes. Trials are for the purpose of purification. Now, depending on how many impurities or things that Abba is trying to give us, we may have to endure more trials. And we're going to see that in the Word. Talking to my director this week, right? And, you know, sitting there, lighthearted conversation. And we were talking about ability. And I remember one, said, you know, the best ability is dependability. You know, I shared that with my director. And it was like, you know, but other than dependability, there's accountability and there's also capability. Those are the three best abilities that anyone can have. Are you dependable? Will you hold yourself accountable? And are you capable? Are you able to do the task that is set before you? But the same thing Abba wants from us. He wants us to be dependable. Can he count on us in his time when he needs us? He wants us to hold ourselves accountable to that Torah and to be disciplined within that Torah with what he has entrusted us to have. He wants us to be dependable and accountable. Other part now, he does see the capability in us. That's why he chose us. But one of the things that he wants us to come and understand is that we have the capacity and the capability to do what it is that he has called us to do. But sometimes that comes with some harsh realities. One of the things that Abba wanted me to look up, this was after, just before starting the lesson. How much heat does it take? Does it take to melt gold? How much heat? About 1,943 degrees Fahrenheit is what it takes to melt gold. Now, if you're a Celsius person, it's 1,064 degrees Celsius. Now, I know 80 to 100 degrees is hot. So if it takes 1,943 degrees to melt gold, that's beyond the human capacity to endure such level heat. But you know what? How much heat does it take to refine the soul? Because that's what he's trying to refine. And if you don't think that that has a level of heat, think back to, I believe, in one of the book of Esdras where he says, tell me the weight of fire. Fire, which is spiritual, has weight to it. Now, human beings can't figure out the weight to that. But you know who knows the weight of fire? Abba Yah does. You know who knows how much heat it takes to refine the soul? Abba Yah does. How much heat does it take to burn all the impurities within our minds and within our spirits? We don't know it, but Abba Yah does. And sometimes that's what he wants to do. Every time I lie to myself and say I'm not going to talk long, especially today because I got double duty, you're going to hear a whole lot of my mouth today. And I'm trying to keep this one short so that way the next one we might have some time. The keynote family, James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which Yahweh hath promised to them that love him. What is the crown of life, family? Eternity with him. See, that is the crown. This life ain't the crown. To be quite honest, and forgive me for how it's coming out, this life sucks compared to what we will have, what we have waiting for us on the other side. And when I say other side, not necessarily when we pass away, but when he returns, all what we endure these feast days for, that eighth day, that's the other side. When all this work is done, this is what we should be working towards. First, making it to the seventh day so we can be part of that first resurrection, be part of the kingdom age. Then once the kingdom age is over, making it into eternity. See, this is why these impurities have to be burnt off now. Because when Yahushua comes back in his glory, he's coming back with fiery heat. And any impurities that he finds with, he can't find impurities when we come back. Not for those who are coming that are apportioned to the kingdom. They can't. He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. There can't be any blemishes in us. It's got to be burnt off now, in this life. And then throughout the 7,000 years, he's got to burn off the impurities in the rest of humanity and prepare them for the eighth day, in which everybody who's going to make it into that eighth day, where we actually come into the presence of Yah, there are no impurities within us at that point, within nothing. Everything has to be in a pure state to inherit that new kingdom. I mean, that new heaven and that new earth. There has to be a purity of heart, mind, and spirit. Anyway, James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which Yah hath promised to them that love him. So let's start off with the classic story of the human trial and tribulation. We're going to talk about Job for a little bit. Ayob, right? As his name is in Hebrew. Job 1:1 reads, and there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one who feared Yah and eschewed evil. And eschewed evil means stay away from it. He had no part with no bad stuff, right? And there was born unto him seven sons and 3 daughters. His substance was also 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she donkeys, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And I tend to believe Abba when he tells us, even though there may not be any historical record outside of the scriptures, if Abba said he was the greatest, he was the greatest. And even according to this time standard, if you had that much livestock within your possession, even now, if you're a cattle rancher, a sheep herder, whatever, llamas, donkeys, whatever, you have a lot of wealth in your possession. I believe one of the brothers looked it up the other day that I think each ox, each head of cattle is worth about $3,000, $3,000 to $5,000, depending on the condition, the meatiness, the beefiness, and what they could be used for. Each one is worth so multiply all of that. And we ain't even talking camels and all the other ones. We just talking the cows and the oxes. If that's $3,000 to $5,000 times 3,000 to 5,000, that's a lot of money. Think about $8 million or something like that. But I ain't good at math, so don't quote. $15 million. Don't quote me on that. All right. 1:4. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. So they were tight-knit, very close family. And it was so, 1:5, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them. Now, how is Job able to sanctify his children? Did he know something about sanctification? Did he know something about the ways of Yahweh that made him or gave him the ability? Because you can't, if you're not, Yahweh is the only one who can give you the authority and the ability to sanctify something. Sanctification, according to the word, comes from Yahweh. So that means not only was Job a wealthy man, he had a relationship with Abba, a very special relationship with him, if he's able to sanctify somebody, his children. Right? Okay, and we're going to see some more about Brother Job, too. Oh, I'm sorry, Abba Job. And it was so when their days, went back to 1:5, and it was so when the days of their feasting was gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings. Hold up. How was he offering burnt offerings on their behalf? According to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed Abba, cursed Elohim in their heart. Thus did Job continue. So wait a minute. He's doing this on behalf of his children for the nullification of any trespasses that they may have committed against Yahweh. What kind of man is Job? But let's move on. Now, there was a day when the sons of Elohim came to present themselves before Yahweh, and Satan came also among them. 1:7. And Yahweh said unto Hasatan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered Yahweh and said, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. He's just wandering, family. He's a vagabond. He's just wandering around. You ever watch somebody just walking aimlessly with no, that's him. My brother had this saying, idle dogs, it's a West Indian saying, a Jamaican saying, idle dogs worry sheep. When they just see these dogs just wandering around, just going back and forth, they know trouble's coming for them. But that's what he's doing. Idle time is what? The devil's workshop. This is what Yahweh is showing. He idle. He needs something to do with himself. 1:8. And Yahweh said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Hold up. You mean Abba Yah is offering Job up? And the question is, why would he do that? He offered him up. Satan ain't asked for him. He asked him, have you checked out Job? And we're going to see his response. Then Satan answered Yahweh. See, even to Hasatan, you need something to do? I'm going to give you something to do. You bored? All right, I'm going to give you some action. Okay. Then Hasatan answered Yahweh and said, from going to and from, back at 1:7, to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And Yahweh said unto Satan, we in 1:8, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth me and eschew evil? 1:9, then Satan answered Yahweh and said, doth Job fear Elohim for naught? He ain't reverence you for nothing. He ain't giving you that reverence just for nothing. And listen to what he says. Hast thou, 1:10, hast not thou made a hedge about him? Hold up. What's the hedge? The Magan. What's the Magan? The shield. Where's the shield come from? Or the parent root. It's gone, right? Which is also a garden. And what do you do with the garden? You protect it. So what is he saying? You got protection around Job. I can't get to him. Yeah, I done noticed him. He looked real good down there. Juicy. I want to jump on in him. I want to get him. But I can't. Because you shielding him. You protecting him. I can't touch him. I'd have been done that. Message, family. Again, 1:10. Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house? So not only is he looking at Job, he's checking out his house. What do thieves do? What do predators do before they come for you? They study you. They watch you. Right across the street from me, right now where I live, there was a couple of break-ins. And you know why they broke into this side? They done walked through the neighborhood. They done seen there's no street lights. They got no lights on at the side of their house, in the back of their houses. They got no fence around their house. So I could easily get in under the cover of night and get their stuff and leave. And that's exactly what they did. And I'm praying they don't come for mine. But you know what? If they do, that means Abba Yah allowed them to. If they don't, that means Abba is protecting this household here. But pray that I don't find them in my yard. Because I will exercise my 2A rights, my American right, to protect mine and my property. I don't want that trouble. I don't. So pray that they don't try it. Again, 1:10. Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? So he done staked the whole joint out. He done went all around everything that he has, and he realizes there's no way for me to get in there. Furthermore, he says, thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. So he's watching him. He's got his eye on him. 1:11, put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. See, he thinks he knows Job. He thinks, or as a matter of fact, what you're seeing now is what his proclamation is. This is Hasatan's proclamation. Yo, if it wasn't for the hedge, if you allow me, I can get him. If you let me, Adam, I can get him to turn against you. That's his proclamation. I can get him to renounce you. That's his proclamation. I can get him to curse you. That's his proclamation. Hasatan to Yahweh. That's the contract he wants to get into with Abba Yah about Job. 1:12. And Yahweh said unto Hasatan, behold, all that he has is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of Yah. What do we learn? Or what are some of the things that we should learn from this story, family? I'm going to tell you. Can't nothing happen in your life by Hasatan, especially if you're not out there willfully being disobedient. We're not saying accidentally. willfully out there being disobedient, doing things you know you ain't got nothing better to do. If you out there trying your best to do the right thing, yes, even though at times you may stumble and fall, Hasatan can't do anything to you without Abba Yah signing the permission slip for it. He's got to give the adversary permission to touch you. And if he is doing that, the question is, why is he allowing him to touch you? The one thing he can't do, though, through the trials and tribulations, is take your life. Now, if you decide to take matters into your own hands, that's a whole entirely different story. That ain't got nothing to do with Yah, because that's not what Yah is allowing. If Yahweh is not allowing him to do it to you, why would you? Hasatan cannot take your life. He has no permission to do that. Can he create chaos in your life? Oh, yes, he can. But not without Yahweh's permission. Can he create turmoil in your life? Yes, he can. But not without Yahweh's permission. Can he come at you? Yes, he can. But not without Yahweh's permission. So this is why James can state, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, and let's look at the word for tried there, family. Let's go back to that. For when he is tried, this is why he says, blessed is the man that endureth the temptation, because it takes endurance. You just don't hit the track the first day and you're able to run an entire lap around that track without huffing and puffing. But I can guarantee you from my experience, if you are able to, you'll run one lap, or maybe you walk one lap, then you'll run a lap. Walk two laps, then run two laps. Walk three laps, then run three laps. Then eventually you'll be running four laps. Eventually the laps, four laps won't be enough. Eventually you'll need to run for time. 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 60 minutes. Then that won't even be enough. Now you got to get out on the road and run on the road. You need hills now. You need inclines. You need declines. You need all of that. You may start off in the gym just being able to push up the bar. Then you add 10 pounds, 15 pounds, 25 pounds, 25 pounds plus a 5-pound plate, 20 pounds and plus a 20-pound weight. Then you put 225 on there. And so on and so forth. I hope y'all get the point. We have a brother in the congregation that at one point wasn't a bodybuilder. Wasn't that big of a dude. But now, over the course of time and consistency, he has the endurance to push up the weight to be a world-class bodybuilder. We have a brother who is a martial arts instructor. We have a brother who is a boxing instructor within the congregation. He ain't just walk in the ring and was able to go for X amount of rounds. Spar for X amount of time, neither one of them brothers. You start out as a greenhorn, a white belt. Then through consistency and learning and practice and pain and endurance, you get to the next stage, then the next stage, then the stage after that. But the pinnacle of, let's say, the martial arts is the black belt. The pinnacle of boxing is to get your purse, now to start getting money. And to get the renown. And to get the fame that goes along with it. Along with anything else. Talking to my sister the other day, remembering when she was going to school to become an educator. Didn't even have her degree yet when we first met. Now my sister is at the point where she is a master educating minds. a world-class caliber professional in the field of educating people. It didn't just start out like that. It took going to one class, accumulating 3 credits at a time, then more credits to the point where you've earned the credentials, then now to become the professional in your field. What is Abba trying to do with us in the professional field of being a believer? That's a profession too. Not in the sense of the world, in the sense of, you know, this is just something arbitrary. No, this is far more than that. But it's our profession. Whether you are Moray, or whether you are the person sitting in the pews, this is part of your life's calling. We're going to look at the word endureth in James 1:12, right? And it's from the Greek 5:2-7:8. Excuse me. And I found the definition to be funny. To remain. I'm going to go to the Strong's. I'm going to go to the Strong's first, right? And it's from 5259 and the Greek 5259 and the Greek 3306, and it's to stay under. Stay under as to sit under the foot of somebody. To stay behind somebody. To stay under, behind, that is remain, figuratively, to undergo, that is to what? Bear trials, have fortitude, persevere, abide, endure, take patience, patiently, suffer, tarry behind. As in, follow me as I follow the Messiah. In order to follow somebody, you have to stand behind them. Makes me think of that scene with Morpheus and Neo as they're walking. And Morpheus is walking through the crowd, and the crowd ain't touching him. He's got his hands behind him. But Neo, on the other hand, as he's walking behind Morpheus, he's getting boom, 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 boom. And he starts to get distracted. And Morpheus looks at him, and he says, Neo,
yeah?
Are you paying attention to me or to the woman in the red dress? Freeze the frame. And it's no longer the beautiful woman in the red dress. Actually, it's the agent, Agent Smith, who is the symbol for Ha-Satan in the Matrix. Agent Smith is the symbol for Ha-Satan in the Matrix. And listen very intently if you watch the movie, especially the first one, to the words of Agent Smith and what the dialogue is between him and Morpheus. And when he has him captive, what he says to him, I hate your kind. I hate your species. It stinks down here. Satan hates that he is trapped in this realm down here with us. And don't take that lightly, family. We are in spiritual, real warfare. All what they got going on throughout, even Yahushua said, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Don't worry about that. Once it gets to the spiritual, once the battle now becomes spiritual, remember, he after us. He can't beat Michael and his angels. So what does a bully do when he can no longer bully a person? He finds the next person to bully, and he's a bully. So what does he want to do? Beat on us. Why? Because he knows we're undermatched for him. He's the super heavyweight. And what's the lightest weight class? We're the bantamweight. But you know who fights for us? You know who takes on our charge? Root of Jesse, Lion of Judah, Judge of Israel. He's the one who fights for us. So even though I may not have the physical ability to fight against him, guess who fights for me? Guess who shields me? Guess who hedges me up? Guess who has me in a garden of delight? You, oh yeah, are a sun and a shield. You show us favor and honor. There are times when it doesn't seem like it, family, but that never changes. The mighty one we serve, the scriptures say, he don't get tired. He neither slumbers, that means fatigue,
nor sleeps. He don't get tired.
I'm going to read from the Thayer definition, right? For the same word, right? It says to remain, one a to tarry behind, to remain, abide, not recede or flee. See, we're not called to flee. If we stand our ground, it says sin lies crouching at the door, right? But if you withstand, he will flee from you. Thing is, what happens is we cower and we give in to sin. Matter of fact, we create ways to allow sin in time and time and time again. We give in to the flesh. We give in to our thoughts. We give in. We give up. Not Abba Yah. Abba Yah is the coach on the sideline. Matter of fact, my son is running cross country, and that's what the coach does. He ain't running the race for you. But what he is doing is, come on, you can do it. And so are the people on the sideline. It's fun to see everybody out there, even though they're competing against one another, cheering for every one of these young kids that are running. Nobody's making fun. Nobody's putting the other person down. They're cheering them on because they know I can't go out there and do it. It's hard. See all them kids stop at the bottom of the hill because they're gassed. And it ain't the pudgy looking ones always. Some of them out there looking like straight stallions. But when you get to that hill, you got to pause and think about it and tell yourself, I know I can do it. I can do it even though your legs are burning. Your hips are hurting. Your feet get blistered and sore. So when your body says no, your spirit, your mind, your will got to say, yeah, I can do it. And it's wonderful to see them get that quote-unquote second wind, and then they get to going up the hill. And guess what happens once you get to the top of the hill when you're in that race? It starts to go downhill. You can cruise a little bit. That's how life works. One of my favorite songs ever when we was in Holiness Church, I'm climbing up on the rough side of the mountain. I'm trying my best to make it in. We on the rough side of the mountain. But once you get to the precipice, once you get to that high mark, then you can look down and see the path that you have walked. And realize the achievement that you have made. But anyway, to persevere, wait a minute, to tarry behind, to remain, abide, not recede or flee, to persevere under misfortunes and trials, to hold faith, hold fast to one's faith in Mashiach, to endure, bear bravely and calmly ill treatments. What is it? Temperance. He wants you to have temperance, self-control. All right. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Let's look at temptation too, fam. Greek, 3986. Perasmos. Perasmos. And it's from 3985, a putting to proof by experiment of good, experience of evil, solicitation, discipline, or provocation by implication, adversity. So you mean he who can walk the path even though there are adverse situations, when the trials come, shall receive the crown of life. And that's life everlasting. Because that's what Abba wants for us. Anyway, Job 23:10. 23:10. But he knoweth the way that I take.
When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So that means he's going to put you through 1,943 degrees at least of trials and tribulations so that you can come forth as gold, the most precious metal on the planet. But how does it start? As a dusty, dirty, impurity-filled nugget. 2 Samuel 23:31. As for Elohim, his way is perfect. The word of Yahweh is tried. He is a buckler that trusts in him. I'm sorry. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. So wait a minute. You mean the word of Yahweh got to go through trials too? How does the word of Yahweh go through trials? Not because it needs to be tried itself. It's tried within you. And what is the purpose and intent of these trials? We talked about a little bit last week, family. To do what? Build faith. Above all, the shield of faith is what Abba wants you to have. Wants you to know and trust in. And guess what happens when you endure and you keep your shield of faith up? You start to become like the patriarchs, like our forefathers and foremothers. How can I say that? Hebrews 11:17. He says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Excuse me. He offered up his only begotten son, 11:18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that Elohim was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Again, Abraham believed in the resurrection. This is why he willingly, along with Isaac, offered him up as a sacrifice. There had been no talk about that before then. But Abraham knew. That's why he said Abraham was, he rejoiced to see my day. Why? So he knew that I could offer up Isaac, but the seed of Isaac, which would be Yahushua HaMashiach, would still come about. And he said, okay, I believe you can do it. You kept me barren all my life, and for 25 years, I waited for you to fulfill the promise, and you did. So I know there's nothing you cannot do. We become like the word when we're tried, family. Why do we become like the word when we're, he wants us to be like his son? The same way how Satan is trying to replicate himself, Yah wants his son replicated. He wants to see more of his son, Yahushua HaMashiach, replicated throughout the earth. Psalm 12:6. The words of Yahweh are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. So if he says, let the word dwell richly within you, right? And if the word is like silver purified seven, I'm not going to look up how much heat it takes to heat up silver, to melt silver. But if silver being heated and refined seven times is likened unto the word, and he wants us to be the word, he wants the word to dwell within us richly, and he wants us to have the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, then how much more heat and trials do we have to endure in order to be just like that? And how is it being like Yahushua? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So you mean to tell me that he, the Word, which is Yahushua, had to be tried 7 times like silver? Scriptures say he was tempted in every way that we were. And who did he have to look to? Who did he have to follow behind? Abba. Daniel 12:10. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Zechariah 13:9. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. So it's not just reading, and they shall call on my name. When the trial is going on, when you are the silver and the gold, he wants you to cry out to him and call on his name. Isn't that what he said about our foreparents when they were captives in Egypt? They called out to him, they cried out to him, and his ear inclined to hear them. And don't just think because it took 21 days for Daniel's prayer to be answered that it might not take more than 21 days for your prayer to be answered. I was just letting them know. Sometimes it could take at least 21 days before your prayer is answered. It took 25 years for Abraham and Ema Sarah to have that child that was promised to them, that they yearned for, that they earnestly desired. 25 years. So don't just think, oh, 21 days after 21 days, if he don't answer my prayer, he done cast me aside. Well, imagine if 21 days turned to 365 times 25. Are you willing to endure until his perfect will is done? Time is when? Time is when Abba says it's time. Not your time. And again, Zechariah 13:9. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, Yahweh is my God. Excuse me. Remember, Abba accepted gold and silver as an offering, right? Y'all remember that? If you don't, let's read it in Numbers. Numbers 31. Gold and silver can be offered not as a sacrifice, but as an offering, as an oblation. We're going to see that in the word. Numbers 31:50. See, all day long we are counted as lambs to the slaughter. 50, right? And when you go through the whole chapter, if you get a chance, read the whole chapter. They had just plundered the Midianites. They had just had war with the Midianites, and they beat them up. Well, Yahweh beat them up. They were just the vessel that Yahweh used to beat them up, right? And after that, they jacked them. They emptied their pockets. They made their pockets rabbit ears. They snatched the gold off their neck. They snatched the gold out their ears. They snatched the gold out their nose. They snatched the gold off their wrists and off their fingers, off their ankles. Read it for yourself. And then we get to 31:50, where it says, we have therefore brought an oblation for Yahweh, with every man hath gotten of the jewels of gold, chains, bracelets, rings, earrings and tablets, to make an atonement for our souls before Yahweh. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you can offer that to make atonement? And again, if you have time, go back in between the lessons and read this whole chapter. 31:3 says, and Moses spake unto the people, saying, arm some of yourselves unto war, and let them go against the Midianites and avenge Yahweh of Midian. Wars ain't new to us, family. Wars are not new to us. Go through and read that chapter. It's a great read of our history. 3153 reads, for the men of war had taken spoil, every man for himself. 3154 reads, and Moshe and Eleazar, the priest, took the gold of the captains of thousands of hundreds and brought it into the tabernacle of the congregation for a memorial for the children of Israel before Yahweh. Abba liked that gold. He liked that silver. He liked that jewelry. How do we know? Journey with me to Malachi 3:16. We've read it before. We have read this before, family. Priests, Moraim, think back to last Wednesday's class when I read this. Then they that fear.
Shalom, family. Can you hear me now? Toda Aki, hallelujah. Abba must have hit a nerve with Hasatan. Abba hit a nerve with Hasatan. He don't want y'all to know your worth. He don't want you to know how precious you are to Yahweh, family. That should be a testament. See, when it gets too hot for him, and these ain't Abba Habel's words, these are Yahweh's words. When it gets too hot for him and it starts to touch his people, he say, oh my goodness. Because remember now, he's the prince of the power of the air. So Abba allowed him to control these airwaves. This is his realm. Even though Abba's in charge, this is what he do. So anyway, family, back to Malachi 3:16. Okay. Then they that feared reverence. Now, let's look at that word real quick, family, and especially for my fellow Moraim, this should bring us right back to where we were last Wednesday, right? So let's take a gander to Malachi, 3rd chapter, 16th verse, and look at what this word is. And we talked about it when? Wednesday night. And that word is Hebrew 3:3-7:3, and it is Yirah. And it's not just fearing, it's also teaching, learning. Abba wants us to learn through these trials and tribulations about it. But you know what he wants us to do in the midst of these trials and tribulations? Then they that feared Yahweh spoke often another. See, part of the learning, and I can attest to that with my brothers, every day, whether it's me and Mara all, me and Yara all, me and Ari all, we get together every day, even Taterhead, we get together every day. And sure, we talk about a lot of things in between, but you know what eventually happens? The word of Yahweh gets spoken about. Eventually, we're going to talk about the word. I ain't even going to say eventually. It's inevitable that we're going to talk about the word of Yahweh. Yes, we talk about football. Yes, we talk about work. Yes, we talk about other things. But eventually, the conversation always circles back to Yahweh and his name, especially if one of us is on fire, especially my brother Ariel. He's famous for that. He wants to keep throwing out embers. I'll think about this, Aki. I'll think about that, Aki. And eventually, he wants that spark to go, so then we get into a full-on discussion. Not even caring about we supposed to be dealing with work and everything. Getting so caught up in spiritual conversation, we forget we supposed to be doing a job. But anyway, that's the beauty of it. And that's what Abba wants. Then they, back to 3:16, found Malachi 3:16, then they that feared Yahweh spake often one to another, and Yahweh hearkened and heard it. And this is the important part, family. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that revered Yerah Yahweh, and they that thought upon his name. 3:17. And they shall be mine, saith Yahweh. So the more you talk about him, the more he treasures you. The more you get together and speak on his name, the more he treasures you. And he said, and they shall be mine, saith Yahweh of hosts. What's Yahweh of hosts? Yahweh of armies. He's a general. Day when I make up my jewel. Again, we are Yahweh's bling. We are his ice. We are his floss. Every word they use about, we are his drippings. That's the word now. You dripping. When you got your fat chain on your neck. When you got that ice on your fingers, in your ears. For the ladies, the ankle bracelet. That's what you become to Yahweh. You become his jewelry. You become his adornment. Do you know how special that is? For those of us who own some jewelry, I don't own any jewelry, but for those of us who own jewelry, especially that special piece of jewelry, especially if it's something that's been passed down to you or something that you really liked and you said, oh, man, I'm going to go to Cartier and I'm going to get this. I'm going to save my pennies. I'm going to work 3 whole checks in order to get this thing. Or maybe you saved up a whole year to get that one piece of jewelry. You know, back in the day they had layaway. You put that joint on layaway. You know, back in the day the sisters used to get the door knockers, the dookie gold. And you know how them sisters used to look back in the day when they had them earrings on their ears looking all sweet. It is saved up to put, it's special to you. It's worth something to you. That's what we are to Yahweh when we get together, when we endure these trials and he refines us and he puts us on. Think about that for a second. Yahweh puts you on himself. He says, 3:17, and they shall be mine, saith Yahweh of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And let's look at the word spare their family, especially if you go through these trials. Ay, ay, ay. The word is Hebrews 25:50. And it is come on. A primitive root to commiserate by implication, to spare, have compassion. So think about the term commiserate, right? What does it mean to commiserate? To be miserable with somebody, right? That means we have a mighty one that understands our afflictions. He understands. He can be down there. Did he not come down here into the gutters with us? He said, Abba, I know I created this, but I don't know what became of this. Hasatan done messed this place up. I created a beautiful planet. Said he came down back in the days of Noah. He said he looked and he was like, oh my goodness, it's filled with violence and corruption. And he said, these days is going to be worse than the days of Noah. It's going to be worse than the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Do we not see that in our lifetime? There's no more closet anymore. They done took the doors off the closet. They ain't hiding nothing that's in the closet anymore. It's out in the open. So imagine what the day, as a matter of fact, we can see what the days of Noah were like and the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. We can see that. Remember in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah how it was the kids that they was coming after? When the two angels came into Sodom and Gomorrah, what did he offer? He offered up his daughters. Now, I don't know exactly how old they were, but they were his children. But he said these days are going to be worse. We see that coming, family. This is why we have to be very spiritually prepared for what is to come. And he says, back to 317. Oh, and let's go and look at the ancient Hebrew. It's kamal, to have compassion on someone or something, to be merciful, pitiful, to spare, pity, have compassion on family. So if you're going through trials, if you're his, he says, I'm going to have compassion on you the same way a man or a woman has compassion on their child. Now, unless you're just an evil, abusive person, and you like to see your child be punished, you like to see your child be pained, you're an anomaly. But most good parents, they hurt when they hurt their children. They don't want to punish their child. They want their child to be good. And once their child gives them no other choice but to enact some sort of punishment, a lot of parents are devastated by what they've had to do. Again, and they shall be mine, saith Yahweh of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth Yah and him that serveth him not. That's the whole intent of purpose for you going through these trials. For one, for you to be refined, for you to be perfected, but also that now you can also discern through wickedness and righteousness. And he also wants you to turn back to him. See, I think sometimes we don't understand what Abba says, I am jealous. Ever really truly experienced jealousy? Especially like if you were in a relationship back in the day and you know you're young and you know you're with a boyfriend or you're with a girlfriend, somebody that you really care about, and one day you come across and you may see him or her talking to somebody else. And somebody who you may think they have somewhat of attraction to. Oh, your insides is hot. Your insides is heated. Your mind is a mess. You feel that flushness come over your body, that all sorts of thoughts start running through your mind. Same thing goes with Abba. Same thing happens with Abba. If he feels like you doing something where it's showing that you don't trust and you don't have faith in him, even if it is yourself, Abba don't like that. And if he sees that's a problem within you, not being able to trust him, well, guess what he's going to do? He's going to burn it out you. Until at what point you realize and you start to understand that you can trust him wholeheartedly the same way Abraham did. Because that's why Abraham is called the father of faith, trust in Yahweh. He knew Abba had him shielded up. He knew Abba had him protected. He knew that no, as my brother states, any hurt, harm, or danger was going to come to him. And anyway, family, that's it. Got to save some of my energy for when we get together later on today, family, because we got to talk about some things. All right. So anybody has any questions? Any comments, or we'll get together later, and if you feel like there's something I wasn't clear about or something that needs to be clarified or misunderstood or maybe just outright wrong, by all means, holler at your brother, Ahab, all a little later. All right. Baruch Atah, Yahushua, King of the Universe, Rock of all eternity, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate king. Baruch Atah Yahushua, our mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All praise, glory, and honor be to your name, Almighty Yah. We thank you, Father, for all that you do for us every day, the great and the small, Abba, for taking us through trials and tribulations, for being a faithful, mighty one unto us, Father, even at times, Father, when we are not faithful to you, Father. You have never let us. You have not loosened us, Father. You have not let us go, Father. You, on the contrary, Father, have been steadfast. You are the strong tower, Father. You are the high tower, Father. You are our sun and our shield. You have always showed us favor and honor, Father, even though sometimes we may not see it, even though sometimes we may not recognize it, Father. Father, we know, Father, within our heart of hearts. We know, Father, within our spirit, Father, that you, Father, are without error. You are without reproach. But sin and folly belongs to us, Yahweh. And again, we thank you for your healing. We thank you for your patience. We thank you for your loving kindness, Father. And we ask as we depart now that, Father, if we are able to get together in fellowship, Father, that it be in shalom, that it be in unity, and that it be in love, Father. B'Shem Yahushua HaMoshiach. Amen. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom, family. Shabbat shalom.
Sometimes I try to justify my sin, but no excuses will be heard in the end. So I and I.